Thank you. All right, can you hear me? All right, good.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Before we look at this passage tonight, as Brother Earl mentioned, this is Veterans Day. How many veterans do we have in the audience tonight? Would you raise your hand? You've served in the military. I thought I had talked to some of you that had served in the military. In the back. All right. Not with us. Well, tell them before they leave tonight how much you appreciate their service, okay? I got my free breakfast at Denny's this morning. And the server said, "I appreciate your service." And I replied like I normally do when I go to Lowe's or Home Depot and get that 10% discount. That really adds up over a while. I reply like I always do. It was a privilege to serve my country. It certainly was. Their servicemen scattered all over the world doing just that, serving our country so that we can stay safe and enjoy the freedoms that we have too often taken for granted, I'm afraid, but need to remember. Brother Earl mentioned 1918, the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, the guns fell silent. The troops came home, signaling the end of the war to end all wars. Well, it, of course, didn't do that. I remember my grandpa coming down the hallway of his home, could always hear the walk because he had a wooden leg. Thump, you know, shuffle, thump, shuffle. It was a distinct sound. Well, he lost that leg in World War I in France. He came home to a daughter that he had not seen. And that daughter grew up to be my mother. So we had a lot of interesting stories. Well, a year later, President Woodrow Wilson issued his Armistice Day proclamation on a note of optimism. I'm getting a feedback in my mic. Are you hearing that too? Maybe it could be turned down a little. He said this, Woodrow Wilson said, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." Well, Armistice Day was later changed by Congress in 1954 to Veterans Day, so we can honor more than just the World War I heroes, but others as well. A primary motivation for the bravery of those soldiers in World War I and World War II and other wars has been love of country and its values. Well, we call that, of course, patriotism, don't we? Army chaplains, I was a chaplain in the Army for 28 years, and the crest that I wore that entire time said, "Pro Deo et Patria," for God and country, for God and country. And those two concepts were indelibly imprinted on my mind. If I'm serving my country, I'm serving my God, and by serving God, I can serve my country. Well, our nation is, has been for some time, in a global war, unlike any other war that we've ever experienced. It's the war against terrorism and anarchy. And once again, we remember in our hearts and prayers those that have gone forth
on our behalf. We admire their courage. Courage is always admirable. We're grateful to those who are giving their all for our safety. We're inspired by special instances of bravery we read about or we hear about, and we see medals being awarded at the White House and so forth. One other motivation, of course, for soldiers to give their lives for their comrades is just that, camaraderie, a love of their fellow soldiers, their fellow service members. This is love of country. This is love of friends. Such love we see elevated and magnified by its utter disregard for self in critical circumstances. Well, in this passage, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we see courage on display. We see patriotism. We see camaraderie. Beginning in verse 8, we read, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Ezrite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together in battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines. His hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword," and so forth. Verse 11, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harharite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." So here were these three mighty men, David's special guard, if you please, that took on the most ferocious, the most dangerous enemy that Israel had had to face up to that time, the Philistines. And they were victorious. These were David's bodyguard. These were the trusted, the elite soldiers that David had. In thinking of this brave trio, I am reminded of something that I alluded to on Sunday. Maybe if you were here, you remember me saying something about it with Winston Churchill. During the dark days of World War II, the hope of the British had almost faltered on account of the Nazi invasion of Europe, the countries of Europe, and the danger that they caused England, this war machine sweeping throughout the world, as it were, huge tidal wave. It seemed like they just overwhelmed Great Britain. Well, Churchill had gone to high school at Harrow in England, and the principal and faculty members asked him to come and give a speech. And so the date was October 29th, 1941. Well, after a kind of a wordy and boring introduction, Churchill rose to his feet and walked deliberately to the podium. Everyone was expecting a long address. What they heard that night surprised them. After briefly describing the impact of the war on Britain, he said, "Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in. except to convictions of honor and good sense. After a couple of more words, he turned around and sat down. The convocation was over, but the memory of those piercing words remained fixed in the minds of those students, many of whom grew up to join the military. This, I think, was the motto of David's valiant men: never, never, never give in. They did not, and God used them to win the victory. Now, in addition to the victory that they wrought against the Philistines, we find three other unnamed champions. Their names aren't given. Only God knows who they are. In verses 13 through 17, I won't read those verses. You can look at them as I'm explaining them, but it speaks about David giving voice to a thought. We do that, don't we? We think out loud on occasion. My wife mentions that to me. Jerry, you're talking to yourself again. Yeah, I do that all the time. Sometimes it helps me to stay awake. Sometimes it just, I have somebody to talk to that way. Well, these guys heard David say, I really would like to have some water from that favorite well back in my hometown of Bethlehem. Well, it was occupied by the enemy. Philistines were there. Well, you know the story. These three fellows went through enemy lines at the risk of their own lives, got some water, and brought it back to David. And he was just overwhelmed by their courage, by their loyalty, by their love for him, to go to his hometown, to risk their lives, to bring him a cup of water. Well, what did he do with that water? He didn't drink it. He poured it out. Now, if you did that in our culture, people think how ungrateful that would be. What an insult that is to these men and their courage to risk their lives to bring David his favorite drink, this water from his hometown. But in that moment, the king was actually honoring their bravery by offering the water to the Lord. Look, if you would, at verses 16 and 17. We'll read those. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, drew the water out of the well of Bethlehem. But nevertheless, the end of the verse, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that were in jeopardy of their lives? This represented their blood. And he couldn't drink it. He poured it out as an offering to the Lord. So he honored these men by honoring the Lord with this drink offering. But what motivated this heroic act of bravery by these three soldiers? Well, you know, the term that I've used frequently, we talked about it a lot last Sunday when we mentioned Ruth, the story of Ruth, chesed. Say, if there's one word that I want you to remember after I leave, it's that one. So, chesed, yeah, you know, Dr. Priest taught you how to speak Hebrew. I'd be great. I'll impress people. But seriously, loving kindness, the King James translates, loyal love is what that word means. We talked about Ittai the Gittite. That's what motivated him, loyal love, chesed. faithfulness, high fidelity. These men had high fidelity. They valued their love for David. And David did something that typifies what his descendant did nearly 1,000 years later. The son of David poured out his life's blood on the cross as he sacrificed his own life for ours and made it possible by his courageous act for us to have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. What motivated him to do that? He tells us in his high priestly prayer found in John 17, verses 19 and 23, for their sakes, those that you have given me and will give me one day. See, folks, we are included in that prayer. I hope you realize that. Jesus includes us in John 17 when he prays to his Father. For their sakes, I sanctify. Now, sanctify is not used for him like it would be for us, where we grow in grace and knowledge, Christ-likeness. We talked about sanctification, Christ-likeness. Well, what would it mean for him? Separation. He separates himself unto that great work of atonement. Think of the separation from heaven to become a man, to become one of us, to give his life for us. Sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Jesus is expressing chesed toward us, loyal love. And when I think of Veterans Day, I think of the many brave men and women of the military who, motivated by love of country and comrades, have defended our freedoms. But such brave love points me to a higher love. The highest of all, a love that supersedes all others, the love of God in Christ poured out, like David poured that water out. Jesus poured out his life's blood for undeserving sinners like us, reconciling us to himself and enabling us to bravely love those who are unlovely with the love of Christ. John says as much in 1 John 4, 9 through 11. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might love through him. Those people that mistreat us, that oppose us, that mock us, that make fun of us, those unlovely people, we can love them. You know, when I went to Bob Jones University in 1962, I was as carnal as all get out. I was not living for the Lord. But I sat under the ministry of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. You either get right or get out under his ministry. I mean, he was just power. I never heard anything like that. How did he know me? I'd never met him before. He spoke right to me. I needed to get right with God, and I did. I hated some people in my heart for mistreating me back home, my own brother. And I asked God to give me a love for them, and he did. And so I started writing my dad, my brother, and others love letters. I think I mentioned that to you before. And I could do that sincerely. I'll share this with you that I don't share with very many people. My older brother, 3 years older than I, took his own life in 1986. He suffered from mental illness, but his main problem was bitterness. He hated our dad, hated him with a passion. He had mistreated me, carrying out his frustrations on somebody, so I was handy. Anyway, I went to the home where it had happened, went to the bedroom where he had taken his life, and on the bed were all the letters that I had sent him. Now, in the last minute, in his confused mind, did he trust Christ? I don't know. I can only hope as much, but I don't know. But you see, if I had written him hateful letters, that would have only added to the problem. See, bitterness is never the solution, but love is. Love overcomes bitterness and hate. But that kind of love I could not work up. It had to come from the source of love, and that was Jesus Christ. And he spread his love abroad in my heart. And so you may be fighting your own battle right now. You may be fighting a battle with bitterness. And you can overcome that, but you can only overcome it through the love of Christ. And so, yes, we honor veterans today, but more than that, we honor Jesus Christ, who gave his life on our behalf so that we can serve him, our commander-in-chief in the Lord's army. And our great weapon, of course, is the Word of God, and our testimony is the love of Jesus Christ. So let's express chesed every opportunity we have. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this special day that we can be proud of. There are some nations, like communist China, that people have to be forced into the military sometimes. In our country, people willingly join the military because of the values they're fighting for. And as we're here tonight, we realize that we're in danger of losing those values, losing the freedoms that so many have fought and died for us to have. But one thing we know will never, never change, and that's the love of Christ. Word of God will never change. So help us, Lord, to place our faith in you and trust in you and exhibit the grace of God in our lives because of the love of Jesus Christ poured out for us on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your army and serving as soldiers of Christ on your behalf. In Jesus' name.